Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for our weekly Images of the Past segment. With us today, my friend Gary Enright from the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. Gary, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it sounds like Museum Day today.
It sounds like museum and history and stories and South Dakota Day, doesn't it?
Oh, that's great.
I love it. So tell me, we've got a photographer here. Tell me his name and what do you know?
Well, Mr. Illingworth, who was an Englishman who came to America to make his fortune, I guess, and he hooked up with General George Armstrong Custer and came to the Dakota Territory in 1874.
Hmm. And is he coming as a photographer? That's his only or primary role?
Right, that was it, yes. It wasn't like a hobby for him. He was a professional photographer, and he was hired by the U.S. Army to accompany the 1874 Black Hills Expedition, and it was the first opening of the Black Hills, actually, to what resulted in the influx of white settlement coming into the Black Hills.
So what do we know about his equipment and sort of what he had to carry along to do this work of documenting what they were doing?
Well, there's a lot of photographers, particularly those that worked in during the Civil War. They had their own wagons, and they were attached with a dark room attached to the wagon, and all of their chemicals were stored on the wagon, and so on. And this is the same thing that Illingworth had when he came to South Dakota or to the Black Hills. Was a photographer's wagon, and as a matter of fact, one of the pictures that we have on the website, when you take a look at this particular story, you will see that wagon setting out in front of all of the other participants in the expedition, and it was an independent business that he had, and he was paid to do it, and did a very, very good job.
What were the intentions of the images themselves? Is he given instructions, do we know, of what he's supposed to capture, or is he just supposed to follow his own vision? And then what happens, you know, does he send those images out?
Who are they for? He actually turned them over to the U.S. Army.
Okay, so they're for the Army.
They sponsored the expedition.
Okay.
What he did was, his job was to take what would become historical pictures of landmarks that they saw in the Black Hills area. A lot of the actual caravan of 110 wagons and 2,100 horses to pull the wagons and 1,100 men who came with General Custer to come to the Black Hills. It was one of the largest expeditions ever launched in American history. And even though we hear a lot about the Yellowstone expedition and some of the others, they weren't nearly as large. I'm not sure why it was so large. Why did they have all those horses, and why did they have all the wagons and all that sort of thing? But it was a big deal, and it was authorized by President U.S. Grant, who said that we need to go out into the Black Hills and do a complete geological study. So they had all kinds of scientists, surveyors, engineers, geologists. They even had newspaper reporters.
They're well-funded. They're well-funded and well-supported.
Unusual.
Yeah, interesting. What can we tell about him as a photographer from the images that he took? Or what can we tell about the expedition that might surprise us from the images that he took?
Well, it's ostensibly the idea of the expedition itself was to do a geological survey of the Black Hills, and then Mr. Custer was charged with the responsibility of finding a location for a military fort. Now, the western half of Dakota Territory was considered Indian country. It was reservation. But the military had jurisdiction over it, and so they came out to take a look at where they could put a fort to help keep the peace in the in this particular region. Ultimately, that fort was built, but several years later, it became what we now know as Fort Meade, South Dakota, which is located near Sturgis. And so they actually did build a fort as a result of this expedition, but they found another thing that sort of turned everybody on, and that was that two of the people they had accompanying the large group that came to the Black Hills, two of them were professional gold miners. And that was done on purpose, because somebody had had spread rumors over the years that people found gold in the Black Hills, and it just was never truly confirmed, and nobody really knew for sure. Well, that's one of the things that George Custer saw to it, that they, the gold seekers, the two miners, actually looked for gold, and sure enough, they found it in French Creek, which is now runs right through the middle of Custer, South Dakota.
And Gary, last time I was in Custer, I looked for that Flick cabin that you talked about last time you were with us, and by golly, I can't believe I went past it all this time. So I get to see Custer through new eyes every time, and, you know, see South Dakota through new eyes every time I talk with you. So,
well, that's good.
I want to say thank you for that. And you can find, you know, one more question, Gary. Do we know what happened to this photographer, Illingworth, after the expedition?
Well, yes, we know exactly what happened to him. He went back to Minneapolis after going back to Bismarck, and then went back to Minneapolis. He lived in Minneapolis for a number of years. He produced 150 different exposures of photographs in the Black Hills, which we have as a collection, and so does the State Historical Society in Pierre. They have the original glass plate negatives in Pierre.
Okay.
So that is a part of the historical society's job to preserve history. What happened to Mr. Illingworth was, in fact, very sad. He committed suicide about 10 years after he had made this trip out here for a total number of reasons that nobody has really been able to explain, but he did meet a tragic death.
Sorry to hear that, and thank you for preserving that story for us, Gary Enright. We appreciate your time.
Laurie, I sure appreciate talking to you, and have a good month.